And that's not who God is he? The Lord serves others. And people that receive his word, they do what he does. They're the ones that know him, because they were students when they should have been students. They were learning when they had a chance to learn. They sought the Lord because they were interested in the love of God. You know, when I used to study the word, I studied it from a love angle, not a pride angle. See, that's the problem. When people study the word from a pride angle, they never have foundation. They're off. They can't be balanced. I can prove it. The word that God gave me about balance. See, some protocols must be met, or you'll never have what you're after. When I asked him his definition of balance, I know I read this every day, but repetition is so healthy for us. He said, and this is the point. There's a point in me reading it again. Balance. Balance is the determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. See, this is a word from the Lord. This came straight from God's heart. Nothing impure can come from God. Then he said this, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. And that's what Moses was trying to get them to choose to be. Relentless sincerity. Covenant keepers. Then he said, proud men can never be balanced. Now that answered a lot of my questions right there. I was so curious about the Laodicean church. You know, I talked about that yesterday, but I said, Lord, what's going on with the Laodicean church? He said, they won't budge. And he taught me other principles about it. They're on last year's on audio page 6. I talked about it a lot that year and this year too. And then I think it was this year, he just point blank told me, he said, they're tares. That's what they are. Because they heard the word with Satan's ears, with Satan's logic. And they expected God to back it up, just like Satan expects to live. They're trying to be better than others. They get upset when others do well, just like Satan would, because they got things crossed. But see, when you read the word without the fervent love of God, that's who he is. He's the one who said, let there be light. He's the one that made sure everything was good. Every time he created something, except for Monday. it was necessary, but it wasn't what God wanted. When he divided the waters from the waters, everything was all out of order. It's the third, then the third day, he said, let the waters be gathered into one place. And then he said, that was good. Okay. So, perfect balance is relentless sincerity, is steadfast and unmoved, but never changes. Proud man can never be balanced. Watch this. Evaluate or appreciate it. Once people start getting leavened by the enemy, if you expect anything that's of Satan, it's going to affect what you desire. Because as you make choices, your will is forming. Every choice you make, your will is forming. When you see things are not going right and you can't figure it out, you got a chance. Your will's not set. But when you make excuses for what's wrong, that's how people's will gets set out of bounds. I want people to wake up. You got to go back to balance. Proud men, you got to stop being pride first. I mean, you got to get pride out of your life first, or it can kill. It can take you all the way out. He said, proud men can never be balanced. Which means they can never have determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. He didn't say or the wisdom of God. He said and the wisdom of God. You need all three, saith the Lord. Then he said perfect balance is relentless sincerity. Proud, is steadfast, unmovable, never changes. Proud men can never be balanced like we can, like Jesus is. And they can't value it, and they can't appreciate it. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord, and their focus is within. And it's a worldly view. I can prove it. Saul had a chance to live. He could have let David go, even when he got shot by the arrow and he was dying. He fell on his sword. He wanted to be dead so that the king of the Philistines wouldn't mock him. He was more concerned about whether the king of the Philistines was going to mock him or not. Then a straggler came, which happened to be an Amalekite of all things, and he begged them to kill him, and the Amalekite killed him. But guess what? The Philistine king still came and cut his head off and paraded around in victory. Now, the same thing happened with King Zedekiah. Jeremiah told him, if you humble yourself and give your life to the king of Babylon, you'll get to stay in your land with your wives and daughters. And you'll have to obey him. And, you know, he told him what all he had to do. He said, but if you fight him, he's going to take you to Babylon. And we covered that. We talked about that yesterday. He didn't kill him because Zedekiah helped Jeremiah live. But his sons, who would have killed Jeremiah, they got killed. And then Nebuchadnezzar put his eyes out because he wouldn't quit running. He was more concerned about being mocked than doing what was right. It was obvious the Judah finally went rogue like Israel. And they would have been able to stay in their land. Nebuchadnezzar was going to be in control of it for 70 years. They didn't keep covenant. They didn't let the land lay out because they went wicked. Wicked people are not in agreement with God, so they can't keep covenant either. And this is the problem. This is our problem, because we have loved ones who hear the word of God, but how are they hearing it? What are they hearing when they hear the word of God? Are they missing out on the love of God, what God came to do? They don't listen to what Jesus corrected. Every time he made a correction in the lives of his disciples, he gave us example that we must not forget. It's so easy. It's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to listen to the word of God with Satan's ears. But the thing about the disciples, they really wanted to know God. And mistakes were made. You know, they made mistakes because they were learning. That's what happens to us. And they also became great and mighty men of God. Now let's look at this one. This is Matthew 16. He said, let me skip down. Verse 15, here it is. He saith unto them, let me go back a little bit. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, this is he acknowledged Peter, but he said, he was talking about the revelation knowledge that Peter had. That That's what, see, Peter had a, he heard the word with Jesus' ears. He heard from the Father who Jesus is. He didn't have on Satan's ears yet. But Jesus said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This rock is the revelation knowledge of God. That's how God builds the church. And everything that men build is going to come tumbling, crumbling down. Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is, see, the keys of the kingdom of heaven are given to those who operate, understand, and live in revelation knowledge. They don't hear with Satan's ears. They hear like Jesus does. Their ears are Christ-like, and so is their heart. They hear the word with its full intent, or its living intent, or they measure it enough to receive enough light to live by, and it's not twisted. Verse 20. This is the real important part, and I'm going this way for a reason. Verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now watch this. The man, that our hero, who received revelation knowledge of God, here he is again in verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now watch what Jesus said. This time, Peter didn't know what God was doing. He didn't understand something. So he went with his own mind, which was already shaped by the world. Now you got to remember, to be fair to Peter, the people of God were Pharisees. Their logic, they definitely had Satan's ears on their head. When they had Satan's earbuds in, and the word was all twisted in their mind, and it had nothing to do with who God is. They were using God for a platform to receive praise from men. They became abominable to the point that they wanted Jesus dead. And they wanted him crucified without a fair trial. They paid people to lie on him. They tried to trap him in his words and couldn't do it. They went way beyond the line and wouldn't repent. Just like the lukewarm church. See, you can't build your life with bad information. Twisted information. You can't hear God if you got Satan's ears. Look what Jesus told him. I read in 22 again. But Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Satan is slick. And sometimes he can get one over, and he can get something over against us, even when we don't want him to. That's why when people aggravate me, I take the fight to the spirit realm. I say, Satan, you can't use them against me, and you can't use me against them. It works every time. Back in the day, Terrence Gibbons, he was my best man when I first got married. He said, if a woman ever tempts you, don't just pray for her, pray for yourself. Well, I started taking authority when Satan tries crap like that. I say, Satan, you can't tempt them with me, and you can't tempt me with them. Works every time. Temptations is not something that's new. It's not because you got secret sin in your life. It's because Satan wants you off track. Just like he wanted Peter and Jesus to be off track. But watch what Jesus said. Verse 23. But Jesus, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Take Satan's ears off, Peter. He turned to and said unto Peter, but he was talking to Satan. And Peter was the host, so Peter had to be there to face it. And it educated Peter, because you didn't ever see Peter trying to talk him out of this again. See, people of God can receive correction. I brought this up because though we are men of God, we got to make sure that we hear what God is saying. Watch this, in every category, even when we don't know what God is doing yet. We got to stick to not only the protocol that we understand, but the protocol that God is revealing. So I had to get used to the fact that I don't know everything God is doing. I'm learning it. My job is to obey him in all things. When it's weird to me, I do ask questions. I say, Lord, I need a confirmation that this is you. This is new to me. I'm not used to this. I'm honest. You can't have a relationship without honesty. I don't care who you are and where you come from. You just can't. If you got a marriage and you don't have honesty, your marriage is not, it's not going to be fulfilling until you got to be honest and open with each other. And so how much more we need to be honest and open with God. And my prayer is this, Lord, help me be covenant appropriate in all things. Help me do all this in you. I can't do it by myself. I don't have enough sense. The things of God must be revealed. Now, if God can use me and compensate me, I might have 10% and God have the 90%. That's what the anointing does. I'm not this. I can't come up with this stuff. God, he prompts me. He reveals it to me. I'm anointed to do this. It works. He's compensating me. If you think I'm smart enough to come up with things like this, I'm not. I never thought about it till this morning how sometimes people hear the word with Satan's logic in their mind. And they never get to the heart of what God is saying. Now, when you study the chapters versus a few scriptures, then you get a bigger picture. And I tell you when that started happening. That started happening in 1990. I rarely did it before then. I used to read scriptures, and sometimes if I was rested enough, I'd read chapters. But after 1990, the fall of 1990, September 1990, I started studying chapters, 15 chapters a day. It was around October, I guess, and all the way to, and after 3 months, the Lord started dialoguing with me. Because the only way you get rid of Satan's ears is to get enough word in you. And always do this. Make it easy. Look, what did God do in the first place? Stick with what God did in the first place. One time Pastor McCann said, when you don't understand all the details, I'm paraphrasing, he said it, but not in specific words as these. He said, you have to also go by the character of God. You know what he's like. You know what he stands for. If it's way out of his character, it ain't him. Then the Sermon on the Mount. See, the Sermon on the Mount destroys the religious mind. If you were a sincere hearer and you came to hear Jesus, but you had religious concept, a lot of things you heard and understood, it was Satan's ears. And you heard the Sermon on the Mount. When you walked off that mountain, if you received what Jesus said, you left Satan's ears on the ground. You left that logic behind you. That's what I'm trying to say. And you got new correction. What Jesus said to the seven churches. See, he had the Sermon on the Mountain help people get out of that old dead religious Jewish dead religious mindset. But another one formed because the Jews was trying to get the Gentiles to observe the law again. And when that happens, see, the law, the way the Jews presented it, it was pride-based, not love-based. So if you study the word and it's pride-based, you studying the word, you're hearing what God said with Satan's ears. And you pick and choose what you like. And like eating watermelon, you spit out the things you don't. And then you think you're approved of God, just like the Laodicean church. But every church had its own problems. Two of them Jesus didn't have to rebuke. But all of them, we must listen to what he was saying to the churches. He said that part seven times. In every case, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And hear it with Jesus' ears. Hear the Father's intent. Hear the Father's love. Hear the Father's strategy. Hear the Father's wisdom. Hear the Father's holiness. And then Laodicea wouldn't have been the outcome. That was the outcome church. That church was that just like that when Jesus sent, when Paul wrote to him. I mean, when John wrote to him about what Jesus said from his revelation. But it's also the outcome church. That's the one at the last day. So many people have went Laodicea. But God always has a remnant. And see, the remnant is what's going to be raptured. I think it was the Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia, he said that, I can't remember, I have to look it up, but he said that he would cause them to, he would spare them from the hour of temptation. So some people are going to miss the hour of temptation. God's going to rapture his people who hear him and sincere. See, the day of the rapture, that's going to be an amazing day. And the only people that's going to be raptured are people who shared the likeness of God. They had ears to hear him. They knew him. They were in covenant with him. And they wouldn't break covenant with him. And those are the things they got in common. So the day of the rapture, you might have the mother, and you might have the parents taken. And their teenagers left behind, and their teenagers may have to be raised by their auntie because they was off partying, doing stuff that shouldn't be done. And you might have children raptured and parents left, or one parent raptured and the rest of them left. See, only the sincerest people will be taken. Everybody that hardened their heart against God will be left. That one friend will be taken, the other one left. One brother will be taken, the other one left. I don't like that. I want us all to be gone. In sincerity. Without Satan's ears. If people yield, if they humble in their heart. See, people of pride, they're going to be gone. They're going to be messed up. God loved the people that he got to leave here just like he loved those that he's taken. But guess what? He's not going to take them. He can't. Because they're not in covenant and they don't want to be. When you tell people about the things of God and they get upset. You know, yesterday morning the Lord talked to me about how when people set their heart. I can't tell when the people set their heart to the world, but God can. I monitor the Holy Spirit and how he used me. And people that I'm concerned about, there are people that I'm concerned about because of what they don't do or what they do or because of what they do in my eyes. Now, I don't know how to judge a man's heart. God does that. I don't even want to judge a man's heart. But I do want to be covenant appropriate. And sometimes the Lord let me in on things. And I said, Lord, if there's anybody, my friends, family, that I can help, help me help them. Because I have family members he woke me up and had me praying for. I have friends that he woke me up, gave me dreams, and told me what to pray for. People are alive in heaven because the Lord woke me up and had me to pray in the Holy Spirit and intercede on their behalf. But I can't do that for everybody. And I'm not supposed to do that for everybody. In fact, the Lord told me to pray for his people that follow him. Now, you know, in verse 24, Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, I'm reminded when I think it was James and John. Oh, man. I have to find it. But they were upset because the Samaritans didn't listen that time. And they asked Jesus, do you want us to call fire down out of heaven? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're like. Sometimes people can share doing things like Satan would do it. And that's wrong. And Jesus had to make corrections. He had to help us out. He had to help us make correction. Now, as we go forward doing the things of God, sincerity is a must. We got to be sincere. We can't do God's will with Satan's mindset. We have to do it with God's word. I found that scripture, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Now I'm reading this out of the Bible that my sister bought me, the Open Bible. So it's a New King James Version. Okay, verse 51. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Now, is that the heart of God? The soldiers that was coming after Elijah were coming to kill him because he loved God. Sent from the witch Jezebel, Ahab's wife. Okay, verse 55. Now watch what Jesus replied. But he, Jesus, turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. The reason I brought this up is because even men, it was always Peter, James, and John. Even Peter and John, who wrote Revelation, had this question. Sometimes we need adjustments. Sometimes the things that's wrong can seem good to us or okay. They asked Jesus, do you want us to call fire out of heaven and consume them like Elijah did? They had spent time with Jesus. That's just not his character. He came to save life, not destroy it. They didn't have a full understanding of what God is doing. Just like now, people don't always have a full understanding of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And they try to make the difference. That's where our problems come from. If we are receiving revelation, now, I told my wife today, I said, when I sought the Lord about love, he taught me about love. I put a lot of other things that I needed to be asking him on the back burner. I wanted to get that straight first. Right after the Lord gave me revelation about love, the enemy, he called me to the ministry in spring of 87. By the fall of 87, the enemy launched an attack against me. It was a satanic attack with any woman that he could persuade would tempt me wherever I went. Now that's not normal. So I put everything else I should have been asking the Lord to teach me about on the back burner. I used what he told me about love, and I asked him to teach me how to kill the temptation because I didn't want that in my life. So time happened. I won each round, and he did help me kill the problem. And then there was other things. Eventually, before I opened my shop in 93. In 92, the Lord taught me about business. Now, I'm saying these things because this is what I concentrated on in that year. I used the principles that he taught me in 87 and in 88. But I concentrated on business and other things in 92 and ministry. He taught me a lot of things about ministry from 1990 to 1994. So adjustments were made from time to time. I had a lot of needs in my life that I should have been asking the Lord about, but my greatest attention was on the greater needs. And that's what sometimes you have to do it that way. And then I learned principles about business. And then my partner, Parnell, he was my business partner, and he was a Shoney's manager, and he took all the mechanics in school like I did. I went on to college, took up all the mechanics. He went to business classes. He was a better businessman. I was a better mechanic. And we learned from each other, and it worked. God gave me a visual with him, and I thank God for that. He became a pastor too. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Having ears to hear is not an accident. It's something you got to want in your own life, and God will honor it. Now, till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Keep those ears to hear.